Let me tell you one story here of a samurai warrior, a Japanese warrior, who had the duty to avenge the murder of his overlord. And he actually, after some time, found and cornered the man who had murdered his overlord. And he was about to deal with him with his samurai sword when this man in the corner, in a passion of terror, spat in his face. And the samurai sheathed the sword and walked away. Why did he do that?
Why?
Because he was made angry. And if he had killed that man, then it would have been a personal act. It was another kind of act. That's what he had come to do.
Let me tell you what happens to me when I read these stories, no matter the culture of their origin. I feel first this sense of wonder at the spectacle of the human imagination, simply groping to try to understand this existence. Does that ever happen to you?
I tell you, mythology I think of as the homeland of the muses, the inspirers of art, the inspirers of poetry. And to see life as a poem and yourself participating in a poem is what the myth does for you.
What do you mean a poem?
I mean a vocabulary in the form not of words, but of acts and adventures, which is connotative, which connotes something transcendent of the action here, and which yet informs the whole thing, so that you always feel in accord with the universal being.
Well, the interesting thing to me is that far from undermining my faith, your work in mythology has liberated my faith from the cultural prisons to which it had been sentenced.
It liberated my own. I know it's going to do it with everybody who really gets the message. Every mythology, every religion is true in this sense. It is true as metaphorical of the human and cosmic mystery. But when it gets stuck to the metaphor, then you're in trouble.
The metaphor being?
Well, Jesus ascended to heaven. The story is he ascended bodily to heaven. The story is that his mother, still alive, asleep, ascended to heaven. So this is metaphorical of something. You don't have to throw it away. All you have to find is what it's saying.
What do you think it is saying?
What it's saying is he didn't go out there, he went in here, which is where you must go too, and ascend to heaven through the inward space to that source from which you and all life came. That's the sense of that.
But aren't you undermining one of the great cardinal doctrines of the tradition, the classic Christian faith, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus prefiguring our own and overcoming the body with a higher physical truth?
Well, that would be what I would call the mistaken reading of the symbol. That's reading it in terms of prose instead of in terms of poetry. That's reading it in, that's reading a metaphor in terms of the denotation instead of in terms of the connotation. You understand that? It's a purely literary problem.
The poetry gets to the unseen reality.
That which is beyond even the concept of reality. It's that which transcends all thought. It's putting you there all the time. And in some way, giving you a line to connect with that mystery which you are. And the myths do it, by gosh, they do it. Now, according to the normal way of thinking about the Christian religion, we cannot identify with Jesus. We have to imitate Jesus, but to say, I am God, as Jesus said, is for us blasphemy. Mm-hmm. However, in the Thomas Gospel, Jesus says, he who drinks from my mouth will become as I am, and I shall be he. Wow. That's Buddhism. We are all manifestations of Buddha consciousness, only don't know it. And the Buddha, the word means the one who waked up, bod, to wake, woke up to the fact that he was Buddha consciousness. And we are all to do that, to wake up to our Jesus within us. This is blasphemy in the normal way of thinking in Christianity, but it's the very essence of Gnosticism and of the Thomas Gospel.
And heaven, that desired goal of most people, is within us?
heaven and hell are within us, and all the gods are within us. This is the great realization of the Upanishads of India already in the 9th century BC. All the gods, all the heavens, all the worlds are within us. They are magnified dreams. And what dreams are manifestations in image form of the energies of the body in conflict with each other. And that's all myth is. Myth is a manifestation in symbolic images, metaphorical images of the energies within us, moved by the organs of the body, in conflict with each other. This organ wants this, this organ wants this. The brain is one of the organs.
So when we dream, are we fishing in some vast ocean of mythology that
it
we
It goes down and down and down. And you can get all mixed up with complexes, you know, things like that, but you're standing on the Lord of the Abyss, really. There's a Polynesian saying that frequently comes to my mind, standing on a whale, fishing for minnows. We are standing on a whale. The ground of being is the ground of our being. And outward turned, we see all these little problems here, but inward, we are the source of them all. That's the big mystical teaching.